We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Paul Barkish.
I like this kind of party.
The Score senior football expert.
Once you put all the evidence that we have together, that's the bottom line.
Pro Football Weekly, Shaw Media, and Westwood One.
It goes deep. Hub does too.
Analyzing the Bears and the NFL.
This was an ongoing conversation at Hallis Hall for literally a couple months.
Paul Barkish with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Top of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football. Don't miss your chance to watch Big Ten football at Ryan Field this fall. The Cats host UMass Saturday at 11 a.m. in Minnesota next Saturday. Buy tickets now at nusports.com. He is on Twitter at @Hub_Arkish. He of Pro Football Weekly and the WSCR Ameristar pregame show, Hub Arkish, on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Hello, Hub.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Will the Bears attend the Colin Kaepernick showcase? Should they?
I have no idea if they will. I think they should. I've been talking about this for a month now. Why not? What do you got to lose, even if it's sending an area scout to get a report? So I don't know what to make of all this. I suspect that it is a combination of the league office, trying to do what they think may be the right thing for their game, since there obviously is a lack of starting quarterbacks in the NFL, let alone backups. And number two, I got to double check on this, guys, and it's hard to get information on it, but I am almost positive that I was told by a number of good sources that when Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reid took the initial settlement of their collusion case, that one of the items in it was that it did not prohibit them from suing again down the road. And so I think this could be in large part the league protecting itself against any potential additional liabilities.
I heard Rich Campbell early today, and it just made me crazy to think that he said if the Bears do want to attend and actually do want to assess Colin Kaepernick, they can't do it publicly. They can't be seen there because of the worry that it would get back to Mitchell Trubisky. And I think, is that really where we are? Is there still this fear that, God forbid, his poor play shouldn't have a consequence like this?
No, I don't agree with that. I understand where Rich would get it from and why he might think that, and I don't think there's a right or wrong here, but I'm absolutely, on the opposite pole on that one. I think that he's an NFL player. This happens all the time. They bring people in. I don't believe for a minute that, A, he would be that concerned about it, or, B, that the Bears would be that concerned about it. You scout football players. That's all this is, And obviously, Mitch is not deaf. I mean, he knows what's going on out there. And I just don't see how this would have any impact on the current situation.
What does it take to go scout a quarterback in a situation like this? For instance, I think they're going to have a game on the in California the next day. Can you bring the appropriate people to go scout? Just from a logistics standpoint, are they able to do what they would need to do to go scout a quarterback like this?
Oh, yeah. Guys, I mean, there's planes, there's private planes. These are billion-dollar businesses. I think the logistics are the least of their concerns. I don't think if the Bears don't do it, it isn't going to be because they're worried about the look. It isn't going to be because it's difficult to do. It's going to be because, much like all the reports that were going everywhere the other day about them taking a pass on a deep dive on Deshaun Watson, assuming that that's all accurate, that they just don't feel it's necessary right now. I think, again, I think it would be a mistake, but I do think it's that simple. I think we're turning a lot of this, the country's gone impeachment crazy. Everything is the end of the world. Everything that comes up has suddenly become a national crisis. This is an interesting situation. When you look at the five or six teams around the NFL that could benefit best from a Colin Kaepernick, if he's the player that he was 2.5 years ago, the Bears are certainly one of them. And so I think it's that simple. I think it would be nuts if they didn't take a look, and I don't think it's a problem if they do.
Connor noticed this before the show today, that Brian Witzman is newly available.
Yes.
Was he waived by the Panthers?
I think so, yeah.
And it was a year ago where Brian Witzman had a terrific game against Aaron Donald and the Rams. Is that a guy the Bears should think about bringing back?
Well, I mean, you know, maybe they should think about bringing him back if they're not happy with the depth at the position. But there's no question at this point that, in my mind at least, much like you're taking the second half of the season to give your best deep, maybe final dive on Mitch, you're certainly doing the same thing with Rashad Coward. You've invested a year and a half in this. He has shown some good things on the field. And, to bring a Brian Witzman back today and start him Sunday, now that would be ultimate panic, and that would absolutely send the wrong message, I think, throughout the locker room.
I want to go back to, you mentioned the report done by the Tribune writers, Rich and Dan, and there, in the report, you find out that Deshaun Watson wasn't really scouted all that much and certainly didn't come in for a visit. Do you know of similar situations where teams have just said, no, not our guy, we're moving on, in such a high-profile spot as the Bears were in, picking third and then eventually second overall, having made the trade?
Connor, every year with every player. This is such a high-profile miss that I understand all of the conversation around it, but it's not at all unusual. They did visit with him at the combine. We don't know how much homework they did without speaking directly to him. And they obviously found some things, obviously they were wrong, and they obviously found some things that sent them in a different direction. So I don't think you can overstate the size of the miss, for lack of a better way to put it. But the fact that they approached it this way, there's nothing unusual about that.
Where do you think the Bears stand in general at the tight end position now, with everything they've put into it and coming up? They're just still desperate and bereft at a position that is critical to the functioning of this offense.
Yeah, and I think they're fine at the U, which is the move tight end. Burton is a good player. You got to figure out how to get him healthier. What's going on there? And Ben Broniker is an excellent special teams coverage guy, maybe their best this year, who really is a U. He's not a Y, and so if he's going to be your backup there, you're okay. But the position that matters in this offense is the Y. That's what Travis Kelce is in Kansas City. That's what Zach Ertz is in Philly. And now, as important as the Y is, you can see how Philadelphia uses Dallas Goedert. So I'm not saying Burton isn't important here. But the key is that every down guy. That guy is going to be the inline blocker and the receiving threat, and the Bears have nothing right now. At this point, I do think that you have to acknowledge we've seen nothing from Adam Shaheen to suggest that he's going to turn the corner. I like J.P. Holtz a lot, but I think that, he's probably more blocker than receiver. The Brad Sowell experiment doesn't seem to be going anywhere, and so... you use the word bereft. That kind of sums it up. They got nothing right now at that position.
As much as it sucked to see Danny Trevathan go down and miss what will likely be the rest of the season, of course, there's an opportunity for Nick Kwiatkowski. And with both guys kind of facing their future perhaps not being on this team next year and going elsewhere, what sort of chance would you give Nick Kwiatkowski grabbing a big-time contract, or at least the one that keeps you in the league for that next big long deal?
Kyle, it's a really interesting question, and we'll see what happens. But again, at the end of the day, this isn't all that different. It is different, but it's got some second cousinness to the decision that they made on Deshaun Watson and not scouting him. There are things that you know about players, okay? And in the case of Nick Kwiatkowski, he is the kind of player that every team in the National Football League wants on their roster, in their locker room, on their sideline, on their special teams, on their bench. He is a guy, we talk about some of these backup quarterbacks, and you look at a Chase Daniel who might be good for Mitch Trubisky, but God forbid there's a serious injury, he's got to start 8, 9, 10 games. You're in trouble. The thing about Nick Kwiatkowski is that he is somewhat limited athletically. Now, he makes up for it, with tremendous physicality and tremendous attitude and effort, but he's not a three-down or four-down linebacker. He's not a guy you really want out there in coverage. I know, he had the interception Sunday, but that was in a zone and reading the play. You get him singled up on a running back or a tight end, you got problems. And so he is a prototypical, third inside linebacker in a 3-4 defense. I could absolutely see the Bears wanting to reward him and keeping him here. I could see somebody else paying him, but not because he's going to be the next big thing at the position. He does not have all of the tools that a Danny Trevathan or a Roquan Smith has. But what really complicates this for the Bears is, you know, forget the issue of Trevathan. He's only 29. He's going to be 30. It wouldn't be at all unusual to give him a 2 or 3 year deal at a reasonable annual level and bring him back again. You got to be asking yourself, what have we got in Roquan Smith right now?
So, I
do think that it's absolutely an opportunity for Nick Kwiatkowski, but I don't think it's as if he's going to get out from underneath something that's been holding him back.
What do they have in Roquan Smith right now?
You know, he's obviously the same young man that he was when they drafted him a year and a half ago. It's interesting because talking to Olin and Patrick, they've both pointed out to me, they say he looks smaller to them. I don't really see that because he always looked small to me. I remember the day after, it was day two of the draft last year, when they brought him in, and I was standing next to him doing a one-on-one, and I was struck by how undersized he was. And apparently he is thicker than I realized, so probably does get to 225 or 230. He's never been big. But both of these guys have said that they think he just doesn't look as imposing physically. I got to keep an eye on that and watch some more tape. I think beyond that, guys, without knowing, you know, what's at the root of all this, to try and diagnose or predict is impossible. I'm not saying we should know. I respect the personal issue aspect of it. But it just, you know, obviously the Bears know, and they've got to be thinking about, well, where do we go next? Are we going to get back the 2018 Roquan, or is this the guy now? Because if this is the guy, then you almost have to bring back Trevathan and Kwiatkowski and draft another linebacker.
Oh, my goodness. Boy, I hate to confront that possibility. Now, we're continuing to hear the Bears say all the good things about when Mitchell Trubisky is good and conveniently ignoring the times that he's not, saying he fought through it and he got the touchdown. Looking at the overall approach here and the continued body of work and how the Bears present themselves, do you think it remains possible that they pick up his fifth-year option?
Well, it's always possible, but I would be shocked. There's no reason to, I guess, is the point, guys. I mean, they were in a very similar situation with Kyle Fuller, and obviously not the quarterback position, but nonetheless, a highly drafted player, had missed an entire season with a mystery injury. So they were worried about what happens next. They did not pick up the fifth-year option. He came out and had a Pro Bowl-level season in year four. They hung a transition tag on him, and, you know, he ended up with a long-term deal. You can approach it the same way with Mr. Trubisky. If you don't pick up the fifth-year option, he suddenly breaks out and goes nuts next year. You can franchise him. You can do a long-term deal. I don't get any sense that he doesn't want to be here. I'm sure that if he turns the corner, there's going to be a ton of time when he's going to be annoyed with many, you know, who were overly critical of him. But I don't know that anybody's been overly critical of him. I mean, he hasn't played well. That's the bottom line. So I don't see any advantage to picking up the fifth-year option other than possibly. Now, I don't know, with some of them, they're guaranteed for injury only. Others are guaranteed. I'm not sure where this one is at. You know, if it's guaranteed for injury only, then you might as well pick up the fifth-year option because you can release him. But I don't think so. I think this case, that if they pick it up, they're stuck with it, and that's kind of crazy to do right now.
And when is the decision time?
I believe it's prior to the beginning of the new league year. They can pick it up, I thought it was week 10 or week 12, and I think it's they have to pick it up prior to the beginning of the new league year, which is usually the first week in March.
I get worried when it comes to the Bears and Mitchell Trubisky, or really just kind of the quarterback position and any team in the league, that there is this, I don't know, force that gets teams so afraid of going to the unknown that they stick with the known, whether that's Jared Goff and the extension that he got, whether that's over and over the Titans going, oh, Marcus Mariota's going to make it, or the Buccaneers saying, oh, it's fine, Jameis Winston's going to make it. There are other examples too, of course. Teams picking up Ryan Fitzpatrick over and over and over and over again. Do you get the sense from within that force exists when it comes to the Bears and Mitch Trubisky, or are we not there yet in his own development?
I think we're not there yet, Connor. The part that everybody wants to ignore, which to me is probably the most important factor, is that, and I've said this on the show before, I know, but it's worth remembering, he is the least experienced college quarterback in history drafted in the first round. with those 13 starts at North Carolina. You knew, you should have known, you had to know that this was going to take longer. And it's interesting because what is different about Winston and Mariota, who did get those fifth years picked up, is that they had some success early in their careers. That's why they got picked up. You know, I mean, years two, years three, they looked like they were the right choices. And then it all started to come apart last year. And this year, you know, Winston's up and down and Mariota's on the bench. With Mitch, I guess you could argue that he took a big step forward last year.
Yeah.
But still, you know, without... Basically, last year gave him still less than 3 years of experience as a starting quarterback at any level past high school. And so he's always been behind the curve in terms of what you can project and what you should expect with development. So I think it's just too soon. Do I worry that the Bears will throw good money after bad? No, I don't think they will. I think, you know, they understand where they're at. This is a young organization, if you will, with Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy still amongst the youngest in their positions in the league, and yet they know, you know, that if they don't win, they're going to be gone. And I think they're going to be prepared to do what they have to do. But I think you can decide right now that it probably doesn't make sense to pick up the fifth year on Mitch. But I would be stunned if he's not back competing for the starting job next year.
We have more to come with Hub Arkish, and we have some Cubs news that we want to get to briefly break in with some biographical information on a new key executive who has just been hired. This segment of Sports Radio 670 is brought to you by RTAChicago.org. Oh, what fun it is to ride transit all the way. Everyone can all agree that riding CTA, Metra, and Pays is the easiest way to get to the Holiday Festival of Lights and other events this holiday season. Plan your trip at RTAChicago.org. More with Hub straight ahead. Bernstein and McKnight on the Score. Bottom of the hour brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Want to ride a Zamboni on the ice during intermission of a Chicago Wolves game? It's a good time to do it. You do it during action, people get hurt. Sign up to take a spin on the new Turtle Wax Icebox. Visit ChicagoWolves.com or call 1-800-THE-WOLVES to learn more. They are winners. They are the Wolves. We're talking with Hub Arkish. Couple of updates here. First of all, Connor is in deep trouble when it comes to the pizza challenge.
I've made a huge mistake.
He is not through the second pizza yet.
But almost. I was just about, thank you.
And he is flagging.
That is a kind description. It is, boy, the chemicals that work here are... They're big forces, Dan. I don't know how
this
that
is. It's
one of the chemicals, BS.
This is definitely not going well, and that third pizza is looming intimidatingly.
It's getting cold.
And also, Hub might want to react to this as well. It appears the Cubs have a new VP of scouting, the former assistant general manager of the Oakland Athletics, Dan Kantrovitz, is going to be named to the position, as reported by Bruce Levine of Sports Radio 670 The Score. According to his bio from the site in Oakland, that he has been in three seasons as assistant GM, involved in all aspects of baseball operations, targeting players in amateur drafts, and statistical analysis. He was an all-Ivy League shortstop twice at Brown University, bachelor's degree in organizational behavior and management, drafted by the Cardinals in the 25th round. Mm. He was then an investment banking analyst for a company providing statistical analysis to major league teams, and he got his master's degree in statistics from Harvard in 2009.
Drafted in the 25th round by the Cardinals, didn't instantly become some sort of superstar?
Yeah. Well, I got hurt.
Oh, so, well, that'll do it.
You know? So it's there's your Cubs news, Hub.
Well, you know, obviously it sounds right up Theo's alley, and Oakland has done a nice job with their farm system, but it reminded me when you said drafted by St. Louis, what I did want to react to is what you guys forgot in the midway is that Kenny Boyer, the Cardinals all-star third baseman's brother's name was Cletus.
That's your Cleet Boyer.
Oh my God, you're right.
You're right. Should I know that? And people did point out also that the animated Fox robot is also named Cletus, but with an A, C-L-E-A-T-U-S, about a play on cleats, so they call him Cletus. But that's not why you called, as we're talking Bears in the NFL. Apparently the Dolphins have been one of the first teams to publicly confirm they are going to go and watch the Colin Kaepernick workout.
You know, guys, why not? I guess is really the question here. I mean, they're going to do it. This guy was a freak at the position when he took the 49ers to the Super Bowl in 2012, when he took the job over in 11, played well in 13 and 14. He apparently he's only 32. And you got to check it out. You got to see. I think for, you know, what this game has come to cost, you know, for fans to enjoy, if you don't do everything you can to be the best you can at the most important position on the field, then shame on you. And, you know, I'll be disappointed if the majority of NFL teams don't have some representative there. I don't think anybody should send the GM, you know, or necessarily the head coach or anything like that. But you got scouts in the area anyway. I don't know why you wouldn't go get a report.
What shape do the Rams find themselves in, I guess, coming into this game on Sunday? I know the injuries have been a long, lengthy list, but the state of Jared Goff is seemingly rough from the outside looking in.
You know, this is why, and you cannot kind of directly apply any of this to the Bears situation with Mitch, but this is why I choose to be at the back of the line of the people who want to get him out of town or panic, and I'm talking about Trubisky. These young quarterbacks, the path is always extremely bumpy, and eventually most of them don't work out. Now, you look at Jared Goff. They gave him the extension when he was growing and playing excellent football and in the process of leading him to a Super Bowl. Some of this could be as simple as the annual post-Super Bowl loser hangover. We know how tough it is for teams that lose in the Super Bowl. But in his case, you know, his passer rating is right there, a point or two above Mitch's. He's not playing well. He's got 9 interceptions against only 11 touchdowns in that offense. And it's not just him. You know, you look at, in my mind, how Trubisky struggles because of the lack of a running game. What the hell happened to Todd Gurley? I mean, Todd Gurley's got 119 touches through 9 games, and he hasn't been on the injury list. You know, we assume that it could be his knees. The offensive line is a disaster in front of him, and so even though he's a year ahead of Trubisky in the process, the curve he's on is not all that different, actually.
What other lessons should the Bears be learning or prepared to learn from what the Rams are going through right now? Because in a lot of ways, that's been the comp. That has been the young collector of plays, an outside-the-box thinker, next-wave offensive mind, the molding a young passer in a multi-pronged attack. Is there anything else? Are there pitfalls here of which the Bears should be wary and mindful?
Yeah, well, the first pitfall, Dan, would be don't panic, okay? Because Sean McVay is still a very good football coach, the 2017 NFL Coach of the Year as a rookie, and you've got, you know, Matt Nagy is still, I think, probably a very good football coach, the 2018 NFL Coach of the Year as a rookie. They are good, you know, bright young offensive minds. They are good developers of quarterbacks, and it's not like either one of these guys invented the wheel. What they're both doing is trying to develop their own version of an expanded West Coast offense. And so, you know, defenses catch up. They get a year or two on tape. That's a big part of it. Beyond that, in the case of McVay, I mean, his offensive line problems in some respects are worse than the Bears because, you know, they lose a starting guard to start the season. Now the center goes down for the year the other day. Their right tackle, Rob Havenstein, isn't going to be able to go Sunday night. You know, you look at the Bears' lack of a pass rush in recent weeks, and they're going to get a team Sunday night with only 2 of its 5 original starters on the offensive line. Now granted, the left tackle is one of the best players in football, but you know, there's all kinds of issues there. Cooper Kupp bounces back with a great year, and now they're without Brandon Cooks because of the concussion. So I think that we read too much into this. I think that, you know, Sean McVay is probably still a pretty good coach, and I think Matt Nagy probably still has a pretty good future.
Yeah, we've got an update here, by the way. I just want to get to this. This is from Tyler Tynes of The Ringer, who has just tweeted, Kaepernick's representatives made it clear that if the process was legitimate and the key decision makers from all 32 teams were there, then he would participate in the process. They asked that a personnel list be provided, and the NFL said they would get it to them on a rolling basis. So this may mean that
it won't happen?
It's possible it might not happen, as I would interpret this.
Well, and the one thing you can take from that is if it doesn't happen and if that's the reason, then Colin Kaepernick will never play in the league again and he doesn't deserve to. You know, they're making demands that all 32 key decision makers need to be there. That's ridiculous. There probably aren't going to be many key decision makers there if they do this. But again, this is one more report, you know, so let's see how this whole thing plays out.
Yeah, it's interesting. I know Bears linebackers coach Ted Modichino talked a little bit the other day about Khalil Mack. His Well, how teams have game planned against him, how they've tried to dismiss him and get the ball to the other side of the field and stuff. How do you see his apparent lack of sack production from Khalil Mack versus, you know, how he actually plays? There's a whole lot that goes into the grade other than just taking a quarterback down.
You know, Carter, at first I'm still trying to interpret Monachino's quote. It was something to the effect that if I was locked in a room, I'm not sure I'd get out or something like that.
Something like that. I was worried for Monachino as he was saying it, so I just kind of backed away.
I think I understand where he was going with that, but at the end of the day, I think it's when things go wrong, you know, that they start to pile up. I mean, Manley and I were kidding about this Sunday because we watch a fair amount of tape, not, you know, probably 10% of what Olin watches, but, you know, we're all studying this stuff. And what you can see, I don't have time to take out charts and graph it for everybody, is that, you know, Khalil Mack is double and triple teamed more than anybody else in the NFL, with the probable exception of Aaron Donald and J.J. Watt when he was healthy. That is a big part of it. Now, you might say, well, hasn't that always been the case? No, it wasn't the case last year because you had to account for Roquan Smith all the time. You had to account for Leonard Floyd the whole second half of the season. You had to sometimes double-team Akeem Hicks. And then you had to account for Bilal Nichols and Roy Roberts and Harris and Eddie Goldman, who were all coming on. None of these guys are producing. And so when you have no other significant concern, you know, in terms of who you have to be aware of in the Bears' defense, you're going to pay that much more attention to Khalil Mack. So I'm sure Mack would be the first one to tell you that there's some things that he could have done better. I'm sure he looks at the tape and sees, well, you know, if I had done an under move or a swim here instead of a spin, you know, different kinds of things like that. But he is still one of the dominant defensive players in football. It's just that now, you know, we're kind of looking for him to do it all himself, and that's just not realistic.
Hub, look forward to talking again on Friday when you can take calls from the folks.
All right, guys, have a good day.
That is Hub Arkish. When we come back, I want to tell you the single best thing about this Cubs hire.
Ooh, all right.
There's something that's just great about
it. Boiled it down already? That's awesome.
Yeah.
I've heard good things just in getting a couple of texts and a couple of tweets here and there about this new Cubs hire and the scouting possibilities for him, considering how, you know, bad they've been getting their own pitching into the big leagues. Dan's got the biggest thing, though. That's next. Bernstein McKnight on The Score.
Thanks to Katie Nolan, Mike Florio, and Hub Arkish. Kevbo had the update. Zawoski, Camp, and Diaz, the producers. Tomorrow, Matt Miller, Anthony Heron, and more. And I'm calling it. This is over. The pizzas have defeated Connor McKnight.
Yeah. He's,
there's an entire third pizza that at the moment is untouched.
Yeah, first of all. Yeah, I understand that.
This isn't even close.
No, it really wasn't. I really thought that I definitely thought that I would get in halfway through the third pizza. I thought three would be a challenge. I definitely thought I could get halfway into the third. I'm going to get into the third. Don't worry about that. But it's just, it's, boy, there's a lot of your daily recommended salt in one of those pizzas.
Yeah, if you know you're probably done, there's no shame in not getting into the third.
I'm going to get into the third.
What if you ate something else to kind of cut through the salt?
It might help. I'm going to try, you know, during the next break, I'm going to try, before we Lawrence in here for transition.
Undo the salt. I mean, eventually you just have to pee it out by drinking enough water.
Well, I might go get some water. I might go get some water, swish around a little bit.
It's like you're the opposite of a bull shark that is able to change its own, like, internal salinity levels when it goes into water.
Yeah, that was my nickname, second grade.
Up the Mississippi River.
Bull shark. This has been a challenge. And, you know, if you want to let me know that I suck, feel free.
You kind of suck.
Yeah, feel free. But for those of you who are going to lay me out, go ahead and do it yourself.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Do it yourself. Let me see it.
I can do that.
Put
it doesn't
together,
sound
man.
So hard.
Go ahead. Finish three. Polish them off. See what happens. Rick Camp is already planning his own.
All right,
ascent of Mount Jack's frozen pizza.
Yeah, he's pretty confident now, too. He's saying that he thinks he
very,
can do it easily.
I know I can do it. I haven't done it before, shockingly enough.
Nobody has.
I know I could.
I don't know. Nobody has.
50 Totino's pizza rolls.
Yeah,
that's
50
impressive.
Totino's pizza rolls within like an hour and change.
Here's the best thing about the Cubs hiring of Dan Kantrovitz. What have all the other hires been so far?
Inside hires.
Uh-huh.
This is a...
Right! For a hire this important with this much power, they went outside the organization. And yes, Rick, you're not wrong. But outside the organization. And he's got the whole pedigree. He's got the Brown University undergrad, the Harvard Masters and all that. But he has worked for the Cardinals, and he has worked for the Athletics, and those are very solid organizations. And the fact that he can come in from the outside and have thoughts and a position of power, that's the best thing about it.
So he's just going to look at the state of the Cubs farm system and its pitching and say something like, well, here's your problem. Like, is he able to do that?
That's
your problem.
The bushwhackers wrapped around the cattle crumber. Yeah, this is the problem here. I wish it were that easy.
We need that guy.
It would be nice. Lawrence Holmes is coming up next. We'll do Transition on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.